From Learfield on the Vermont Sports Network, this is the Cat's Den. Now, here is your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas here, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Tuesday right here on 101.3 ESPN, and that means we are inside the Cat's Den. Lots of Catamount news to get to as we get you ready for really what is a big night on Thursday. UVM will take on Albany in a game that's nationally televised on ESPN. You will have the coverage for you as well. The Cats really sitting now at 19-5. They are unbeaten in the conference. If they get past Albany on the road, you have to start thinking there's a very, very legitimate chance that they go unbeaten again in the America East season. What an accomplishment that would be. Look, you never plan for a team to go 16-0 in the America East. You never say, oh, we're going, we think they're going to go undefeated. So the radio host in me would never make that guarantee. But when the team loses Anthony Lamb, and then you look at their schedule and say, hey, they've got 5 road games out of 6 contests at one point in this season, it just doesn't seem likely that they're going 16-0. I would have agreed with you. I said that before Anthony Lamb got hurt. I was like, the schedule is too hard to navigate for them to go 16-0 again in the league. Let's temper our expectations. But here they are now, sitting at 19-5, 9-0. They're on a 12-game win streak. They're unbeaten at home. I mean, and look at what they've done. I told you, they're in the middle of it. Five road games out of 6 games, and all they have done is win. So they took on Binghamton on the road, won. Took on UMBC on the road, won. They're going to take on Albany. Then they're going to come home on Sunday and take on UMass Lowell. And then they're going to go on the road again to, it was New Hampshire, Hartford, home for Albany, and then Binghamton, UMBC, and Albany again. So we're looking at 5, that they're in the middle of it. They're at the end of it. 5 road games in 6 games. And this is a team that's playing really, really good basketball. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. You can do so on the Town Fair Tire text line. No intern in here to answer the phones today. So text only today. Coming up on the show, UVM guard Cam Ward will join us at 6:15 to talk about the Cats as they prepare for Albany. We'll react to some things that Myron Medcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter, told us on Radio Row when we caught up with him last week at the Super Bowl. And Jim Plumer, UVM women's hockey coach, will join us at 6:40. Remember, tomorrow we are out at Trivia at the City Sports Grill in Colchester. We'll have half-price burgers. We know the weather is not supposed to be great, and if you drive responsibly, drive safely, get out there. We got lots of swag, lots of prizes, and it will be well worth the trip. So come hang out with us tomorrow. First and foremost, as we talk about UVM getting ready for UAlbany, and it's a very exciting time because, as he said, nationally televised. This game is, they used to do the bracket busters where they would show you 2 mid-major teams that were really, really good. Now they start to highlight some of these conferences also on the national level. So UVM and UAlbany, they will meet on ESPNU on Thursday. And this was brought to my attention. I hadn't even seen this until this afternoon. It was brought to my attention that Will Brown, UVM men's UAlbany men's basketball coach, had guaranteed victory over UVM in this game, that he had guaranteed victory. So we went and found the video. It comes from our friends over at NBC5. January 24th, the night that UVM beat Albany in Patrick Gym, this was UAlbany head coach Will Brown after the game.
Yeah, they went undefeated in the regular season, and at most, they'll get 1 loss in the regular season this year. I think we're the only team that can potentially beat them in the league. But that's just me being a knucklehead or pig-headed or whatever. I think we'll get them in the CFQ arena. With that being said, they're terrific. They're really good right now.
So Will Brown says, I think we'll get them in the CFQ arena, which is where Albany plays its home games. I don't think that's a guarantee of victory. Do you think that that's a guarantee of victory? 802-655-6672. Is Will Brown guaranteeing an Albany win over our Catamounts? Let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line. I'll play it back for you again from around that spot.
That's just me being a knucklehead or pig-headed or whatever. I think we'll get them in the CFQ arena. And with that being said, they're terrific. They're really good right now.
Look, I know Will Brown, and I know Will Brown fairly well. He's going to join either the Huddle or Champlain Valley game night this week prior to that game. And I'll ask him about this. I know Will Brown pretty well. He is not like that. I do not take this to be a guarantee of victory. What I do know about Will Brown well also is that he is a guy who totally believes in sports psychology. He's a guy who believes in the mental game. He's a guy who believes in talking yourself into things. And if he is not going to come out and speak confidently, he can't expect his team to come out and play confidently. I know that to be a fact about Will Brown. I don't think he's guaranteeing victory. He says, look, maybe I'm being pigheaded. Maybe I'm being hard-headed, but I think we're going to get them in the CEFC Arena. So basically what he's saying is that we know how good they are, but I might be foolish, but I think we're going to win. I don't think that's a guarantee. I think that is more a display of confidence in talking him and his team into believing that they are on the same level as Vermont. I don't take that to be Will Brown throwing shade at UVM. If you disagree, get in. David comes in. He says, no, I don't think he's guaranteeing a victory either. David, I agree with you. But when it was shown to me today, somebody came into my office and said, hey, big game against Albany on Thursday, huh? And I said, yeah, it should be a good one. It's on national television. They go, and what do you think about the coach? Like, what about the coach? And he goes, well, he guaranteed a win. I said, I don't believe that. I've known Will Brown for 4 years now. You know, known him well for 4 years. They said, he guaranteed it. I got video to prove it. NBC5. And we went to Twitter and we found it. I said, I don't think that's a guarantee. I don't think that's a guarantee at all. I think that's a coach of a program who's had a lot of success, who up until last year had been to three consecutive, or up until two years ago, had been to three consecutive NCAA tournaments. And I think that's a coach who's trying to talk his team into believing that they're as good as Vermont. Nick in Plattsburgh gets in. It's obviously pending them winning the conference tourney, but a lot of bracketology sites have UVM as a 12 seed now. Everybody knows that the 12-5 matchup is the popular upset pick. It is. I would not go, I can't allow myself to get that far yet. I can't allow myself to get that deep into bracketology, because the minute you start looking that far forward, then that's when the slip-up happens. So from a fan perspective, I can't start talking about 3 weeks from now, a month from now. I'm not talking about Selection Sunday. If UVM goes unbeaten in the conference, then I think based on their reputation, based on their history, and based on the idea that Anthony Lamb, I think if this team makes it to the tournament, I think Anthony Lamb comes back. I don't know how much he plays. I don't know if he starts. I don't have any inside knowledge on that. I would just say December 27th is when we heard the news about Anthony Lamb being injured. It was projected at 6 to 8 weeks. So 8 weeks would be February 27th. I'd have to think that by March 15th, which is the first day of the tournament, he would be able to play if UVM is there. Based on UVM getting Lamb back, a player of his caliber, potentially, a 16-0 conference record, potentially, and now the lineage in history of making the tournament 2 years in a row, and playing well on the biggest stage against Marquette and playing well against Kentucky this year, I do think UVM could get a 12 seed. And I'd have to look. I don't know that it'd be the highest ever that an America East team has gotten, but I remember Albany getting a 13 against Virginia and getting blown out. I remember Stony Brook getting a 13 against Kentucky a few years ago and getting blown out. I don't know that an America East team has ever gotten a 12, at least in this version of the America East. I'd have to really look. I mean, UVM winning was a 13-4, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, you can correct me, 13-4 back in 05 when they beat Syracuse. Jack in Essex says, it may not be a guarantee, but it is definitely bulletin board material. Although at this point, it is not like UVM really needs any extra motivation against Albany. And I think you're right about that too. I think that the coaching staff at UVM already loathes Albany. And I don't know that it's Will Brown, but I've seen the assistants jawing at each other during games. I don't know that it's Will Brown and John Becker, but I've seen the assistants jawing at each other during games. You know that the UVM seniors remember what it's like to lose in the tournament to Albany. They've been beaten on a buzzer beater here at home by Albany in the regular season before. I think those seniors have that disdain and that healthy competitive disdain for the Great Danes. But I do think Will Brown did provide some bulletin board material, but it's not a guarantee. I know Will Brown too well to think that he would do that. I have never heard him do something like that. He knows how to motivate his team. He knows what buttons to push on his own team, and he knows how to mentally get to his team as well. We are excited for that game. Again, 6:30 on Thursday, we will have the pregame show for you, and the game will be televised nationally on ESPNU. And again, we will have UAlbany head coach Will Brown with us this week. It will be either tomorrow or Thursday prior to that game, and I'm not sure if it's going to be the Huddle or Champlain Valley game night, but Will Brown will be on this station ahead of that matchup. Again, Champlain Valley game night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Is Will Brown right, though? That's another thing here. If UAlbany is going to beat UVM, and once Anthony Lamb got hurt, I got to own this, I came on the air the next Cat's Den and said, I think Albany has a real chance to win the regular season. Number one, now they can't win the regular season, you know, barring UVM losing, you know, five games, they can't win the regular season. So that doesn't have a chance to happen. But could they beat UVM? I do think Will Brown's right. There's only two teams in this league that can beat UVM, and he only said there was one. Albany could. Stony Brook, maybe, last game of the year in the conference at their place, has a chance. But by and large, I think he's right. I think Albany has the most legitimate chance and the most regular chance to beat UVM. If Albany's going to win, same formula applies as before. They are going to need star efforts from their star players. David Nichols and Joe Cremo are supposed to be the best backcourt in this league. And Joe Cremo had 31 points the last time Albany played against New Hampshire just the other day. So it's possible that Cremo goes for 27 and Nichols goes for 22, and the guards instantly put this at a 41, 42-point effort, 49-point effort between them. That's very possible. But I don't think it's likely, because Trayvell Haynes is so good that he's going to guard one of those two, and one of them can score, but whoever's being guarded by Trayvell Haynes is not going to score. That's how I look at it. Maybe Cremo gets 18 and Nichols gets 7. Maybe Nichols gets 16 and Cremo gets 9. But that's not going to be enough. They're going to need it to be, you know, Albany's going to need 25 and 20 out of those two if they're going to win. And then you look down low, Greg Steyer and Travis Charles need to be in double figures also. They're going to need 15 and 13 between them. I just don't know that all four, you know, when you're that dependent on four guys to score, it never really ends up well for you. UVM can win with one of their big guys not playing, with one of their big stars not scoring. If Ernie Duncan gets 4, they can overcome it. If Trayvell Haynes gets 6, they can overcome it. They're so good and so deep. Albany doesn't have that. Their four guys need to do what their averages say and a little bit beyond that. And I just don't see this UVM team allowing Albany to do that. This UVM team wants it too bad. They're too motivated. They're too big. They're too skilled. They're too quick. And they're too determined. And they have too good of leadership on the court to allow Albany to have all four of those guys hit their season scoring averages plus a little bit more. And Albany doesn't have the depth. They're not going to bring somebody off the bench to get 18. UVM could bring somebody off the bench to get 8, 10, 12. And one of those guys is Cam Ward. Cam Ward, the senior from Marshall, Wisconsin. He's going to join us next here on Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Tuesday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Tuesday means we are inside the Cat's Den, and we're already excited for the big matchup on Thursday. UVM men's basketball on the road at Albany. You can listen to the game here starting at 6:30, but it's also going to be broadcast nationally on ESPNU. So let's go out to the phone lines now and talk with Catamount senior guard Cam Ward, who joins us. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you joining us. Nationally televised on Thursday, huh? Always fun when you guys go to Albany.
Yeah, it's always fun. I know it's going to be a tough game, but we look forward to the opportunity to play them.
When you played them at home a couple of weeks ago, a game that you guys, it was tight early in the second half, and then you guys kind of went away in the last 10, 12 minutes or so. What's the key to beating them?
I think the key to beating them is the key to beating any other team. I think we just got to bring it for all 40, and if we bring it for all 40 minutes, I think we're a really hard team to beat, and we all know that. So just sticking to the game plan for all 40 and just really being locked in.
You know, you have really stepped up your scoring in 2018. The team's now 19-5. You won 12 in a row. You've been a big part of that. Had three double digit scoring games within the last 8 or 9 games for the Cats. What's been the key to you playing so well here second half of the season?
I would say just my confidence. My confidence continues to grow, and as my confidence continues to grow, I continue to play better. So my teammates and coaches have been doing a good job of letting me play and letting me get out in space and take shots and get more shots and all that lands out. So I'm just trying to take advantage of the opportunity with Lamb out and really step up for the team because it's my last goal around. I really want to have a good senior year and help us win any way possible.
Now, you talk about it being your senior year, so you've been here 4 years now. How is the program different, or how has it grown since you got here?
I would say it's grown a lot since I got here. I mean, there's a lot more chartered flights and things of that nature, but I would say our identity is still the same. I guess when I got here, Hector was the senior, so he really just kind of showed us the way, and he always told us that our goal should be to leave this program better than when we got here, and that's really what our class is trying to do.
Now, you mentioned Anthony Lamb's injury, and again, you guys have not lost since we learned that he was going to be out for most of the remainder of the season. What exactly have you guys done from a team perspective to counter his loss?
I would say it's just kind of our mentality, next man up mentality. I mean, we know how good Anthony is, and I think the whole country knows how good Anthony is. Losing him was a big loss, but we still got a lot of people in that locker room that can play. We feel good about whoever we step on the floor with, any five of us, anybody in the conference.
Now, you guys got to go out and play against Marquette, and you're from Wisconsin. What was it like for you to go back, you know, close to home? I think it was like 2 hours away. What was it like for you to get to play in Wisconsin again earlier this year?
It was really nice. I mean, I've got to play at the Bradley Center before, but playing in the college uniform was way different. I would say it was kind of like a sense of I've made it a little bit. I made it out of my small town, and now I get to come back home, and all my friends and family got to watch, so it was just kind of, I was kind of playing for them in a sense.
Was it team dinner at the Ward House? What did you give the guys some home cooking?
Yeah, the guys did come over to my house, and my mom and her friend Tina cooked up a really nice meal for us, so I got to kind of show my neck of the woods a little bit.
What's your hometown like? You mentioned you're from a small town. What's it like? I mean, is it smaller than Burlington?
I only had 86 people graduate in my senior class, so it's like a village of 2,500 people, so it's not very big, so not a lot to show them, but I did my best.
So what got you to UVM? Because we always hear about, you know, if you want to get noticed, you got to go play at a bigger high school. You got to go to prep school. You got to play on the giant AAU circuit. How did you get noticed from a town of 2,500 people to get to a Division I offer?
I would say strictly because of the AAU circuit. I mean, I played for Playground Warriors, which was a pretty good team out of Wisconsin. So they did a good job. We went all around the country, and they did a good job of really getting my name out there for me. All I had to do was really just play my game, and the scholarship offers really followed.
Cam Ward, UVM senior, with us here on 101.3 ESPN Champlain Valley Game Night. We're inside the Cats Den. You know, it's been a kind of an interesting progression through your career. Sophomore year, you played a ton and scored quite a deal. Last year, you still played a lot, but you took a backseat in the scoring role. You know, with Anthony's emergence, you weren't needed to score as much. Has it been, you know, a tough adjustment for you to go from being counted on to score to being a guy who just comes off the bench and can really provide a scoring spark?
I'd say it's been different. I mean, I've kind of learned to adjust throughout my career. Coming off the bench on 48 has really taught me that I just got to be ready to go and be a spark plug and provide whatever the team needs. And I would say in my earlier years that our team really struggled to score, because especially since we're all younger, Trey was younger, and Ernie was younger. So not everyone was really ready to score, and I felt like that was kind of like my natural role. When Lamb came along, kind of changed the whole shape of our team, and I really just needed to be more solid, and scoring really wasn't the front of my mind as much as it used to be, I guess.
Now, you mentioned trying to leave this program in a better place that you found it. What's next for you personally? When this season ends, what are you looking to do? Are you going back to Wisconsin? Are you going to look to play somewhere overseas, enter the business world? What are your thoughts post-college career?
Kind of weigh my options. Maybe play overseas. I'm going to see really what that's all about and potentially play overseas. But I'm getting a business degree from a really good university, so if basketball, the ball stops bouncing, I'll probably end up going back to Wisconsin and find a good business job, hopefully.
Cam, let's do a little rapid fire, get to know you. Super Bowl Sunday, take me through. What's it like for the UVM Hoops team? Where are you watching? You all watching together, and who's cooking the meal?
We actually all had, everybody was over at the house because we all live in the same house. We ordered out because not a lot of us cook, so we all just ordered out.
Now, Drew Urquhart said he was the best cook on the team, so why did he not make the meal?
I disagree with us, Dana. I think Sam Bing was the best cook, but I don't think anyone wants to eat Drew's cooking.
Well, Ernie also said Drew was the best cook, so you're in the minority now.
Yeah, I'm the minority. They live upstairs. I live downstairs with Sam Bing, but so I don't think they really get a full taste of what he can bring to the table.
What's your favorite place to eat at in town here in Burlington?
Ooh, huh. Junior's. It's got to be Junior's because of Amir. I love Amir, so...
Amir is great. Amir plays in the Tuesday night Burlington Y League with me, and his team beat mine by 13 last time. So I owe Amir's team some payback next time on the court.
Yeah, you definitely do. You definitely do.
Cam Ward, UVM basketball senior with us here, Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cats Den. Cats will take on Albany Thursday. We'll have the coverage for you at 6:30. Sam Hyman will be on the call for that game. Now, look, we have Sam in here a lot. We listen to him all the time, but you're on the road with him. Give us some dirt on Sam that we can use next time we see him.
Oh, man, some dirt on Sam. I don't think people really realize how much he studies the other team. Like, during our shoot-around, you'll look over and he'll just be nose deep and nose trying to figure out what to say about this upcoming game. And he takes his job really serious. I don't think anyone really realizes that.
I always ask who controls the iPod in the locker room, but that's been very, very clear that that's Trey Bell Haynes. So I'm going to go with a different question. Who's the best singer on the team?
The best singer on the team? I would probably go with Anthony Lamb.
Really?
Yeah, Anthony Lamb. He's the only one that's really got the courage to nowadays. It used to be Darren Payne, but I think it's Anthony Lamb now for sure.
Cam Ward, UVM senior basketball player with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cats Den. Cam, thanks a lot for being with us. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to watching you guys 6:30 for the pregame show, which you can listen to right here and then nationally televised on ESPNU Thursday against Albany. Good luck.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There goes Cam Ward. Cam, thank you. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Cam Ward's a great story because I think, you know, you guys will know this. You guys hold me accountable when I say things, and I appreciate that because that's the way it should be in this business. It was probably right after Anthony Lamb got hurt, probably right around one of the first shows after the new year, one of the first shows after 2018. I remember saying, look, this team needs more out of Cam Ward. This team needs more out of its bench. And, well, maybe we point to it and say, okay, that Steph Smith is the guy who ultimately has the higher ceiling. Cam Ward's the senior. He's been here before, and they need some more out of him. And then instantly, there he was, 10, 14, 8, 6, 8, you know, 10. And now he's playing very, very well. And he has been a guy that Coach Becker has gone to in some big moments, and he's played some valuable minutes, and he's continued to perform. And I think that that is what the team has needed. But also, if you look at it on the other side, I think the transformation in Cam Ward's game and in his career is pretty remarkable because this is not easy, and he handled it very well when I just asked him. 2 years ago as a sophomore, he scored and scored a lot. He was nearly a double-figure scorer nightly. I mean, he was a guy who was averaging nearly double figures. And last year, that role gets drastically changed. Less minutes, less points, less reliant. It's easy to be salty about that. It's easy to be upset, and I don't think that it's arrogant. Like, if you were feeling that way, I don't think that it's arrogant. I don't think that means that you don't care about the team, but I think it's natural to say, look, I've come 1,500 miles away from home to come to school here. Yeah, I want to get to the tournament, but yeah, I want to be a guy that helps us get there. I want to be a main guy that helps us get there. And when you get that role, that expectation of your role gets changed, I think that can create some resentment. I think it would be natural if it did. But Cam Ward now is not only okay with it, He's embracing it, and he's relishing in it again. And I think that that is incredibly impressive, and I think it's a big-time testament to the culture of this team, to the leadership of this team, the culture of this program, and to Cam Ward personally, because I don't think that that is an easy thing to do, and Cam Ward is doing it. Champlain Valley Game Night. Again, if you want to get in, you can, like Fred from Ferrisburg. UVM is playing great, and I think the only thing really hindering them is the conference. As good as they are, the rest of the league is not helping their cause, especially when the second-place team gets blown out by 40 and 30. And he's talking about UMBC, who got beat by 40 by an Albany team that I would say is above average, but not great. And they got beat by 30-plus, you know, 28 the other day by UVM, a UVM team that is obviously very, very good. So Fred in Ferrisburg thinks the conference needs to change. Should the Catamounts move up? I haven't thought so forever, and I still don't think so. But we caught up with Myron Metcalf of ESPN. He's a college basketball expert. We caught up with him last week at Radio Row, and I asked him, should UVM be looking to jump ship? Should they be looking to bolt conferences? We'll play that sound back for you, and we'll all react to it together here on Champlain Valley Game Night. Inside the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back inside the Cat's Den here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. We go up until 7 o'clock, and then we bring you Bruins hockey. Bruins taking on the Detroit Red Wings. Pregame show at 7. We'll give you the puck drop at approximately 7:30. You can always get in 802-655-6672, and we've already got people weighing in on this topic. Should UVM men's basketball move up conferences? It's something that we've talked about in jest even for about the last 6 months, I feel like. And my answer is going to remain consistent. The Catamounts, in my mind, should not look at moving out of the America East. And one of the primary reasons is because of the impact on the other sports. If you move in one conference, if you move in one sport, you're going to have to move in all of them or a majority of others. Everything that Vermont participates in the America East, they would have to leave. And sure, maybe men's basketball could get competitive, but women's basketball is not ready to get competitive. Men and women's soccer might not be able to go to the Big East. That's just not how that works. So doing what's good for one program is not necessarily good for the university. And that's if we're totally confident that UVM could get really, really good in another conference. And I'm just not sure that that's feasible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not sure that that is feasible. I mean, you know, you talk about, I mean, shouldn't you want to dominate as long as you continually can? And when we talk about domination, we're in a year and a half stretch of UVM dominating. And I'm sorry if that's offensive to Catamount lifers. I like the team also. But we're not talking about a Gonzaga-type program right now yet. We're not talking about 10, 15 years of continued dominance. We're talking about two. And other than that, we're talking about some really, really good teams, but the league has changed hands. It was UVM's in mid-2000s, then it became Albany's, then it was kind of a hodgepodge where it was back to UVM again, then it was Albany's for 3 years, and then Stony Brook had a crack at it, and now it's UVM's again. We're talking about multiple teams in this league that have seized control of the leagues at various times. Moving up is not the ideal way for UVM to continue to do things. Look at programs that have been mid-majors that have moved up to bigger conferences. Let's just take a couple of examples. How about Butler? Butler moved from the Horizon League. They moved up. They went to two national championships in a row. UVM hasn't won a game in the tournament since 2005. Butler went to two consecutive national championships. They had a player go to the NBA and make real impact in the NBA when we talk about Gordon Hayward. They had a coach go to the NBA when we talk about Brad Stevens. UVM isn't doing what Butler did. They're not even close to on that level. The Horizon League is far better than the America East is, and Butler left it only after going to two consecutive national championships. VCU got to a Final Four, but even before they had gotten to a Final Four, they had beaten Duke. in a first round of an NCAA tournament game with Eric Maynor and the crew back in the day. I mean, that's not VCU leaving is not. I mean, we're not UVM's not on that level. Wichita State left, and this year they're feeling some growing pains. But they've been a number one seed in the tournament before. They had flirted with an undefeated season, flirted with Final Four bursts. UVM isn't doing that either. So the Gonzaga, these teams have had lengthy runs in the tournament, and they've done it over sustained years. I mean, when Gonzaga had was doing its thing early on, they were getting to Elite Eights. They were getting to Elite Eights, okay? That is the difference. UVM is not doing that. UVM is not doing that. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3 ESPN.com. I mean, look, I talked with Myron Medcalf of ESPN about this at Radio Row at Super Bowl 52 just a week ago. And I asked him, I said, look, I don't think UVM should move up. What do you think about the idea of UVM changing conferences? Here's what he said.
Have a conversation with Nebraska football about moving up and changing leagues and thinking it's going to change everything. You know, Wichita State is in the American right now. They're seeing it.
Yeah.
They went down to Houston and got their tails kicked. That's a Wichita State team that would beat everybody in the Missouri Valley by 20.
Yeah.
They went down to Houston with some real dudes, got punched in the face. If you have a path to the NCAA tournament and you can be successful with what you're doing and you have a fan base and you have support, why change it?
Yeah, why change it exactly? UVM right now, we're not even at the point where they have a new arena. Okay? We're not even at the point where they have a new arena yet. And a new arena is coming, and I'm fully confident that new arena is going to help elevate and escalate this program. However, we're how many years away from that, and then how many years that we can recruit to that, and how many years of sustained success in that building and fan support in that building are we away from being able to use that? In my mind, we're a decade away of dominance from UVM trying to move up conferences. Until UVM shows that they can get to the tournament every year, get a 10 seed, 11 seed, win a game, two games, and they can do it repeatedly, then I'm not even willing to entertain the idea of moving up because it's cyclical. UVM right now has a great senior class. Trabell Haynes. Ernie Duncan, who's a redshirt junior, but he's in that same age as Trabell Haynes. We talk about Cam Ward. We talk about that senior class being transformative because of Trabell Haynes. And then you look at Anthony Lamb. I mean, there's just some good recruiting classes piled up there. Albany had good recruiting classes, made the tournament 3 years in a row, and now you find them in, third, fourth, fifth in the league. It's cyclical. What happened to Stony Brook? They got the tournament with Jameel Warney, and now here they are, third, fourth, fifth in the league. And I don't mean to put the negative idea in our listeners' heads, our fans' heads, but you know that John Becker is getting mentioned again this year as a continued up-and-coming coach, as a guy who is doing a really good job at the mid-majors. I am not saying John Becker is going to leave Vermont this year or ever. But you have to entertain that possibility that he's going to use this platform eventually and the success he's had here to elevate his own career and leave. You don't know that the next coach that comes in is going to have the same mojo that he has. Do you really want to go to the Big East with a new coach who's not as good as John Becker potentially and see what happens? I mean, Steve Peichel was the head coach at Stony Brook. He leaves for Rutgers and the team is not as good as it was when Peichel was there. The recruiting class moves on, Peichel leaves, and now here they are, middle of the pack. Could you imagine if they had jumped on their couple-of-year run in this league and had gone to the Atlantic 10? It's not going to happen. You people that want this team to move up leagues, enjoy what you have. Root for them to continue to schedule well outside the league, win a handful of games outside the league against those good teams. If they had beaten Marquette this year, you should all be doing dances in the streets because they could get a 12 or an 11 seed. And you should be rooting for that. I continued to talk to Myron Medcalf, and even he just said, hey, getting a new arena doesn't even guarantee you anything.
You only make a change, in my opinion, if it's really going to dramatically alter what you're able to do now.
Yeah.
If there's something that's stopping you and you're Vermont, I get it. But are you going to move to another league and suddenly get five-star kids? No.
He continued on to say about the new arena, go ask Northwestern what it's like about getting a new arena, because that didn't just make, you know, transformational changes for them. I think that a new arena helps UVM big time. I disagree with Myron Metcalf there to a degree, but he's right. Just moving leagues is not going to put you in a five-star program. Tony in Burlington, Texas, no way UVM should move up. They've been very good the past two seasons, yes, but that doesn't constitute a move. Look how long it took mid-major powerhouses like Xavier, Butler, Creighton, Wichita State to move up conferences. UVM hasn't made any noise in the postseason. You're right, Tony. You are right. We appreciate you coming in on the Town Fair Tire text line. Jim Plumer, UVM women's hockey coach. That's next. Big weekend for his program right here. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas. Only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All things UVM related for this full hour, and we go up until 7 o'clock, and then we bring you Bruins hockey. They take on the Detroit Red Wings. Let's go out into the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk a little more hockey with UVM women's hockey coach. It's Jim Plumer. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Brady. How are you?
Good. We're digesting the Super Bowl still here, even though we're a few days removed. What did you think of the game?
Oh, I thought it was a fantastic football game, and I think most people know that I'm a diehard Pats fan from Pats country there, and I tip my hat to the Eagles. You know, they won the game. If you told me that the Pats were going to give up 41 points, I wouldn't have believed it. And you know, they made the plays they had to make, and that's what makes the game so compelling to watch.
You know, the game was on NBC on TV. Also on NBC starting this week is the Winter Olympics, and the Winter Olympics have special meaning to those of us in Catamount Country, because UVM has a lot of ties, Vermont has a lot of ties to the Olympics,
yeah.
And you have a tie to the Olympics in your former player, Amanda Pelkey. What does that mean to you to see her on the international stage at the highest level?
Oh, it's a huge thrill for us. I mean, we're proud of her. She's been such a great ambassador for girls hockey, girls and women's hockey in Vermont. And you know, to have our first UVM player playing on the U.S. Olympic team is huge. And just actually during the Super Bowl game, I was looking up the times of the games here, so we're gonna have to use the DVR wisely.
Yeah, what's the what's the time frame here? I don't even know yet at the moment exactly just how far ahead Pyeongchang is. But what are you gonna be getting up at, what, 4 a.m, staying up until midnight? What's it gonna be?
Well, I don't think I'll be getting up or staying up too many of those times. I think the first game's at something like between 2 and 3 a.m. The second game is at like 7:10 a.m. maybe, which is certainly in my wheelhouse. I think the third game, which is against Canada, might be in the evening. But you know, we'll see. In some ways, you know, the DVRs are better. We can fast forward through the parts we don't want. I don't want to say that on a media show. But yeah, we're really excited to see it. And, you know, it's going to be a battle for sure between, well, I mean, we always think it's going to be U.S. and Canada, but we'll see how it all goes. There's some spoilers out there.
Do you use the Amanda Pelkey story as a major recruiting tool? I mean, you know, from a smaller area in a smaller state, Division I player, and now you've cultivated her to a pro player, an Olympian, or do you say, look, that's the outlier, and you don't use that as much in the recruiting trips?
Well, no, we definitely talk about our ability to develop international players. She's obviously the most prominent. We have two players on our team currently who play on their national teams, one from Czech Republic, which is not in the Olympics, one from Finland, who has played on their national team, and for a variety of reasons is not going to be playing in the Olympics this year. But definitely talk about Amanda and our setup, both from our strength and conditioning program to our player development, and you know, just talk about how Amanda came here versus going to another more prominent program and still was able to develop and use our program to help her get to that not only the next level, the top level. So yeah, it's definitely something that we talk about.
Jim, we'll get you one more Olympic-related question. What do you make of the NHL players not playing in this Olympics? Is it good for the sport of hockey? Is it good for just the NHL teams? What do you make of that?
I would say it's just good for the NHL teams. I think it's pretty special when you get to see that tournament with the best players, the truly the best players in the world playing for their countries. I get that it's particularly inconvenient this year, and I think the next Olympics are in China. Just being so far away and having to shut down the league and the risk of injury, I get the competing interest there, but I don't think anyone could argue that it's good for the game of hockey. And we all like to see those teams compete those players get to compete for their countries. I think they get a little jazzed up about it, and it certainly adds to the drama. I have no idea what to expect out of like the U.S. or Canadian teams compared to some of the other European teams that will still have some professional but non-NHL players in there. So I really don't know how good the men's tournament will be. Not saying it won't be. I just don't know.
Jim Plumer, UVM women's hockey coach, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cat's Den going up until 7 o'clock right here on 101.3 ESPN. Let's transition over to your team. Big weekend for you guys ahead. You guys have also been playing pretty well of late. You've won three of your last four. You're going to come home this weekend against UConn. It's the Pack the Gut Challenge Friday and Saturday. Tell us about your team and this recent run you're on of good hockey.
Well, it's really gone, dates back to, the beginning of January. We took a little exhibition tour of up in Montreal. We played three teams in three Canadian universities in a tournament up there. And after having kind of, a slow second part of the first semester, things really started to click for us. We came back and had nine games in a row against the real iron, not only in our league, but in the country. It included a series against first place Boston College, second place Providence College, University of Minnesota, fourth place Northeastern. And we really held our own in this nine games, which included BU. We went 4-4-1. We had a big win out at University of Minnesota. Have been playing very, very good hockey, arguably the best hockey from the team-wide that we've seen since I've been here. So, we're hoping to be really peaking at the end here and making it real difficult for whoever we face in the playoffs. But this weekend with the Pack the Gut is huge on a number of levels, both for the points and for the program to have another big night in front of a big crowd.
6-12-3 overall in the conference, but again improving here, especially since the new year. You mentioned again Pack the Gut, and you're trying to get that place rowdy and raucous for your team. How have you seen the growth of women's hockey? Just say, in the last decade or so, because I have to imagine it's pretty substantial and pretty significant to the point where you are able to play in front of some bigger crowds and go to some youth tournaments with some bigger crowds and recruit more and more players. It's a good overall growth for the sport.
I just wish that we could get more people to come out and give our game a try, give our product a look. I think they'd be very surprised, and I can certainly understand how people think of, women's hockey 10, 15 years ago. I mean, this is my 18th year in college hockey, or a good part of it was spent in Division III, and the skill level wasn't there. But when you think about the Amanda Pelkeys, we've got Audrey Picard, who's on the Canadian under-22 team now, and a couple other international players, and we get other Olympic-caliber players that come through on other teams. It's a really, really good brand of hockey, and the tickets are less expensive. There's I don't know if it's good or bad that there's more room in the gut to pick your seat and a little more comfortable than you might be in a men's game. But, certainly the game has grown immensely over the last 20-plus years since they started in the Olympics, and that's probably what really spurred it. But I think if people haven't been out to see us play in the last 5 to 7 years, they'd be amazed at the transformation and the quality of the product on the ice. And for people that like hockey and like to be close to the game and see kids that, they're not playing for professional contracts, they're playing for the love of the game. I would love to have some people. That's what Pack the Gut was designed to do at the very beginning 5 years ago. This is our fifth anniversary with it, was to get people out, to show them the product. And we marketed it heavily, and discount the tickets and everything, and just say, hey, listen, take a look and then come back to some other games. Obviously it's the end of the season and these are our last two home games this year, but I really hope that would be my message, that we know a lot of people that have given it a try and said, wow, this is a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Jim Plumer, UVM women's hockey coach, packed the gut last two home games of the year against visiting UConn this Friday night, this Saturday, and the product will be great too. Jim, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Brady, and go Pats for next year.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care.
Appreciate it, Jim Plumer. There he goes. We are out of time for the day. If you missed anything, you can find it online, 1013ESPN.com. Thanks to Jim Plumer. Thanks to Cam Ward. We'll see you tomorrow, Champlain Valley Game Night, 1013 ESPN.